for your gift? Let's read some scripture. Let's talk about the Christmas story. We continue today in our sermon series called A Red Letter Christmas. It's a series that's inspired by our children's Christmas musical that will take place next Sunday here at 11 o'clock. They have a wonderful program planned for you. I'm sure you're going to love it. It's called A Red Letter Christmas. And in practicing over the last several weeks, it gave birth to a sermon series about approaching Christmas with the red letters of the Bible. And so today, the Christmas story in red letters comes to us from Mark chapter 1. If you brought your own Bible, I'd invite you to open up to that. If you'd like to follow along, there are also pew Bibles that you can follow along. This is the Christmas story as told by Mark. We're going to pick it up, chapter 1, verse 9. At this time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and then he was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was with wild animals, and even angels attended him. Afterwards, John was put into prison. So Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and they followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Mark chapter 1. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father God, for the stories of Scripture that have been preserved and translated and passed down from generation to generation to find a home here in this pulpit and ultimately in our hearts, we give you thanks and praise. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, may they be pleasing to you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Lord, you know my heart. You are my rock. You are my redeemer. To your glory, we pray. Amen. So you probably think I'm out of my mind, right? You're at least a little confused. That was not the Christmas story. Did y'all catch that? Not even close, right? Would you know where to go in the Bible if you wanted to read the Christmas story? Do you know where it is? If somebody in your family or a friend at work this year came up to you and because they know you're a churchgoer, or maybe they know something about you being a person of faith, and they were curious about the actual Christmas story, and they wanted to actually read it, you know, not get it through some wonderful motion picture or an animated film. You know, there's so many of those things in which the story has been told and retold. But if you ever just kind of got confused and somebody was confused and they wanted to actually read the Christmas story, what would you tell them? Luke! All right, so it's in the Bible, apparently, right? You just tell them Luke? Because maybe they don't know Luke's a book in the Bible. So probably the best response is, well, you know, it's actually in the Bible. And they're like, oh, well, I have one of those. And they go home and they dust it off, or they get the one that they were given when they were, you know, baptized when they were three. I just dropped something. It's not important. It's where I mark my page. So it starts in the Bible, right? And then you would say, what's in the New Testament, which is like this part of the book right here. Okay, it's the second half. There's the Old Testament. This is the New Testament. All right. And then so you would tell them Luke. Luke's in the New Testament in the Bible. And is that it? Chapter 2. Good. Anywhere else? Oh, wait a minute. What? Matthew? Which is it? Matthew or Luke? Both. Oh, it's the same story in Matthew and Luke. They're just sort of one plagiarized the other, and they just copied it and pasted it, right? Oh, wait, it's a different story in Matthew and a different story in Luke, but it's still the same story, right? You could see how people would be confused. But at least you know that the story is actually found in Scripture, the Holy Bible. It's in both Matthew and Luke. But aren't there four Gospels? Aren't there four books in the Bible that tell the life story of Jesus? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, what about John and Mark? Well, they just don't tell that story? Can we get anything about the Christmas story in John or in Mark? What about Matthew and Luke? Why are they different? Let me just, first of all, encourage you, not right now. If you want right now, go right ahead. It's fine. This Christmas, read the Christmas story. I hope you read it every year. It never gets old. Isn't it not the greatest story ever told? It's usually when somebody says amen in the crowd. Thank you. Ruth, I can always count on you for a good amen. Thank you. She even got her Christmas colors on and a Christmas button. That's an amen. Amen, Ruth, right? So, what's that? Dilly-dilly. Cheers. Well, you really threw me off, Mike. Dilly-dilly. Having problems today. Sorry, there's children's musical tape. So read the story in Matthew. And let me just give you a little preview so you know what you're reading. So when somebody asks you, and if they have questions, you can have answers. Matthew, chapters 1 and 2. Matthew tells the story from the perspective of Joseph, whereas Luke, chapters 1 and 2, tells the story from the perspective of Mary. It's very purposefully written that way because Matthew, which is the first book in the New Testament, the first gospel, it's sort of a bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the Old Testament, you know, or I hope you know, is a story of the Jewish people. Okay? And so Matthew tells the story of Jesus' birth through the perspective of Joseph because Joseph is a good old Jewish boy. You know that? Yeah, he's from the line of David. Like his ancestors, you can trace his lineage, his genealogy, all the way back to David. And so the story of Jesus' birth in Matthew is told from the Jewish perspective because Jesus is going to be this front and center figure of the Jew. It's the one they've been waiting for. And that's why also in Matthew you get the story of King Herod and the Magi. Why? Because what did King Herod want to do? He wanted to wipe out any king that would ever rise up within the Jewish faith. And when he heard there was this baby born that would become king of the Jews, he ordered a decree that would wipe out every two-year-old boy from the region, which forced an exile of Joseph and Mary to go to Egypt and to live there for a while. Does that sound familiar to Jewish history? It absolutely does. Didn't Moses have to bring his people out of Egypt to bring them into the promised land? You see all the connections? So in Matthew, you have the Jewish story, the story of the good old Jewish boy Joseph, who had it in his heart to dismiss Mary because it was against the law, the Jewish law, to get a girl pregnant before they were married. So he had it in mind to quietly dismiss her. That's why the story in Matthew is told the way that it is. Because it's setting Jesus up as the king of the Jews, the king that would be crucified with that inscription above his name. That's why we get the story of Joseph, Herod, Magi in Matthew. Read it. It's good. But then there's Luke. And Luke doesn't tell the story from the Jewish perspective. No. Luke tells the story from the perspective of Mary. You know, that wayward teenage girl who ends up pregnant? No. You know, the shepherds? I almost said a bad word. The shepherds? You know, the shepherds were not liked. They were the dirtiest of people. They lived out in fields, people. And they smelled like sheep dung. That would have been the real place to swear right there. I probably could have pulled that one off and no one would have met. You know what I'm saying, right? But these people, the shepherds, were the unlikables. They were the trash of the community, literally. And Luke now is telling the story about a humble peasant girl and some stinky smelling shepherd. He's setting Jesus up to be the Savior of all, regardless of the choices or mistakes or the place that they've been given in society. Matthew's telling the story about this king that's going to rise up and claim to be king of the Jews. And Luke's telling the story about a poor little baby born in a stinky manger. There wasn't even room for them in the inn. And shepherds out in the field watching by night go to see him. You see, it's the same story told from a different perspective. They are both true. They're both glorious in their own ways. I encourage you this Christmas season, before Christmas Eve, to sit down with your Bible and read it and familiarize yourself with the Christmas story according to Matthew. And according to Luke, that leads me to John and Mark. What's up with those guys? Why don't they tell the story? Don't they have a perspective? Isn't there a way in which they can tell the story in a way that's true, but then open our eyes to a whole reality of who Jesus is and why he came and was born on this earth? You know, John does that. He just starts a little bit before Jesus' birth. Does anybody know the first verse of John, the Gospel of John? Anyone? Any of our Sunday study people? Come on. You still got your Bible open? Somebody read it out for me. John, verse 1, chapter 1. Anybody got it? Miculin, where are you? You got it, don't you? Oh, he's downstairs today. Who's got it? John, chapter 1, verse 1. What's it say? Oh, I hear it. It's back here. Who said it?
I did.
Yes, what was it? Ron?
Yeah.
Oh, in the beginning. Where's John starting? He's going all the way back to creation. He's like, you guys, you want to talk about this baby born in a manger, but let me tell you about this same Jesus that was with God in the beginning when they created. When God, in the just created everything, and he was with God, and he was God, and he's the Word. You think that can shape our approach to Christmas? Is that the Christmas story? Yes, Jesus was the light that came into the darkness. And is that not how the world and everything was created? Go back to Genesis chapter 1 and read that. God formed the world out of nothing. It was a voidless form of darkness, and God gave it light, and he said it was good. And John's saying, that's where the Christmas story starts, folks, when God comes into this dark world and sheds light on it and gives us life. Sound like a Christmas story to you? I get excited about that Christmas story. And then there's Mark. What about Mark? Mark's gospel starts where? I read it for you today. It starts with a baptism.
Huh. That doesn't have anything to do with Christmas.
Or does it? Maybe these red letters of Jesus, first spoken in the Gospel of Mark chapter 1 that I read to you, maybe those are words that can shape the Christmas story. Think about it. Think about these first words written in red in my Bible, the words of Jesus, and how they can shape our approach to Christmas. Jesus says this: "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent. Believe the good news. Come, follow me." Those are the first five public words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Skipping from his birth, nothing about his adolescence, Mark decides to start his Christmas story with the very words of Jesus Christ. "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent. Believe in this good news. Come, follow me." Imagine the Christmas story shaped with those words. Setting aside the ribbons and the bows and the cookies and the fruitcakes and all the gifts that we give and the animated stories of a little baby in the manger or the wonderful motion pictures of the nativity. All of that is great. That is the story, folks. I get it. But that story means nothing unless there are people who realize that Jesus came to call people to himself, to forgive their sins, to be good news in a life that's full of darkness, and to have those people that believe in him to follow him. There is no Christmas story. The story never gets out of the gate. It never gets on the motion pictures. There's never even a screenplay of the Christmas story if there weren't people like you who have repented, who believe, and who say yes when Jesus says, "Come, follow me." And those red letters shape your Christmas. Maybe it's your time. The time has come for you to begin orienting your life around the kingdom of God that is present. To repent and to realize that we're no different than those shepherds or wayward teenagers of the first Christmas story. That we're all broken and abandoned and somehow messed up. But that, get this, there's good news. Jesus redeems you. Believe this good news and follow him. Follow him every day of your life. For he, as John says, is the way, the truth, and the life. Folks, call me crazy, but I see the Christmas story in the Gospel of Mark. How about you? Good time for an amen. Let us pray. Father God, help us to see the story of Christ's birth throughout the Scriptures. Lord, we rejoice in all of the wonderful images of the Christmas story. But Lord, help us perceive into the heart of the matter that the little baby born in a manger came to forgive our sins and to lead us in the way of everlasting life, abundant life here on earth even, in which we have victory over all the demons and the darkness of this world, that nothing through could ever separate us from you because we believe in the good news of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, help us to see all the red letters throughout the Scriptures, all four Gospels. Help us, Lord, to see it as the fulfillment of the Christmas story. Help us, Lord, to go from this place and to tell it on a mountain. Amen.